702. SMS Weekend Breakfast on 31702.
Time to jump behind the wheel with Warren Tucker, our resident car expert. Warren, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Nicholas?
Hey, man. So far, so good. I was mentioning in the last hour how we may have thought that the worst of the winter chill is gone, but again, on my dash this morning, I was being reminded of an ice warning and the snow icon was there, and I'm like, cold.
Yes, you drive a German car. The German cars do tend to tell you, listen, there's some black ice around. Take care. Watch the road. Especially if the temperatures dip below, I think the temperatures got to get to 3, just about 3 and lower, sometimes 1.5 lower, and it will throw that warning at you. So definitely a little bit cold in the mornings, but people are still out jogging and doing their thing.
Yeah, yeah. And just for FYI, I ride Japanese. One day when I'm big like you, I can afford a German sedan.
The chaps have caught up, I see.
June's been the first full month of car sales since that countrywide lockdown really pole-axed vehicle sales in late March to try and curb the coronavirus outbreak. What are the numbers telling us? Have they rebounded?
So there's a number there that I always look at, and the number that I look at is the application volumes, okay? So new applications versus used applications, okay? So for the month of June, applications for new cars was 47,284 applications that went in. For used, it was 105,000 applications that went in. Now, on the used car side, you can definitely see there's a huge appetite for used vehicles. Specifically, you know, what tends to happen there is because the interest rate moved down, guy might be driving a 1.4 Comfortline Golf and has realized that due to the interest rate lowering, they could be paying the same money for a better spec'd Golf. They could be driving a second-hand GTI for the same money. And there would be a trading that would happen, and they would upgrade the vehicle, and the installment will be the same. So a lot of, in the used car side, lots of guys are going after vehicles that they wanted to drive, but at the time could not afford it. The other thing is, given the interest rate now where it is, people are going into to purchase vehicles, especially if you held out for a long time where you were driving this vehicle and you needed to change it, but you were holding out to see what's going to happen in the market or in the economy and the rest of it. And once the interest rate dropped, here's an opportunity to go out, purchase a vehicle, and maybe fix the interest rate if you can. If you're not going to obviously have the linked rate, but your installment will definitely be less than what you might currently be paying.
So therein lies the challenge, right? Because no doubt there are some serious deals to be had. I mean, a couple of the stories that I have been hearing about, if you've got cash in the bank, you can get a serious deal when it comes to a set of four wheels.
No, definitely. There are. Remember, the dealers also need to make up for lockdown. The factories have to make up for lockdown. So there's serious incentives out there. I mean, if we look at the top three selling passenger vehicles, the Polo rules the roost, the Polo Vivo a second, and the Toyota Fortuna. Okay, as far as your buckies go, you know, South Africa is a very strong country when it comes to their buckies. I mean, Hilux, top of the list, that's no surprise. Your Isuzus, and that's followed by your Ford Rangers. And I mean, if you just need to look around and look at the amount of buckies or your SUVs on the road, you know, I mean, you always see when you've got foreigners coming to South Africa and look around. I mean, I've had it with some people that came here from the States. They look around and look at the amount of BMWs and Mercedes driving around, and they're completely blown away. They're like, okay, what's happening here? Because in South Africa, you just need to look around in Gauteng. Most of everybody's driving an Audi, a BMW, or Mercedes-Benz. In the States, those are still highly aspirational vehicles. If you're driving an S-Class Merc, you've got serious money. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of them around, and people drive them and change them and, you know, get into new ones quite often. So definitely our market saw a bit of a bounce back after COVID. People are going out, people are looking to buy vehicles. But there's a lot of declines happening in terms of finance, people getting finance. The reason being is if you did opt into that payment holiday scheme, because you might not have earned your full salary or you might not have earned anything at all, the bank will then have to review you over a six-month period before they will give you, even if your salary has bounced back, they will review you over a six-month period. The FNIs, so the person that does your finance for you at the dealership, are busy talking to the banks, and in some cases, they are able to assist, but it's case dependent. It's based on your individual profile.
Warren, this is the time, though, with the dealerships being desperate to stay afloat and not succumb like so many different industries have due to COVID-19. Now more than ever, we need to read the fine print and know exactly what we're getting into. I've heard of some instances of where someone signs up for a new car, all honky-dory for the first 6 months, where they haven't exactly had a payment holiday, but their installments are far less than the remainder of the loan term.
Definitely. So again, always read the fine print. Ask questions. When you are sitting in front of the FNI, you see purchasing a vehicle is a very emotional thing for people. Also, if it's your first car that you're purchasing, if it's your first new car in the family, it's a very emotional thing, you know, and a lot of the time you're so happy to have been given finance and to have been given a chance to purchase a new vehicle that oftentimes people skip over the fine print. Always read the fine print. Especially in vehicle lease agreements, they will say to you that you will drive this vehicle for 3 years or 60,000 Ks, and there's a clause there that explains that if you go over that specific kilometer setting on the vehicle and don't return the vehicle during that time, you are liable to pay a fee per kilometer over that, right? And a lot of the time people drive the vehicle and not take note of the fine print. At the end of the 3 years, maybe hand the car in with 90,000 Ks on, and there's a huge amount of money they've got to pay in. So always read your fine print. See what the fine print is about. When they say there's a payment holiday, interrogate that payment holiday, because you might be given a six-month payment holiday on the vehicle, but there's still interest being calculated on that deal. So when you do start paying that vehicle off, there's quite a large chunk of that's interest. So essentially a three-month payment holiday would add 8 months to the term, to 8 months more to your term, right? I mean, 6 months, you're going to double that.
So let's not talk about buying a new vehicle for the moment, and let's talk about the possibility of making your golden oldie last a little bit longer, because if you look after your vehicle that you've had for ever in a day, maybe more than a couple of decades, you could well be sitting on a little bit of a financial boon, a gold mine, if it were. And I'm talking about that story this week with almost $4.1 million for a 1988 BMW M3.
Yeah. So that specific vehicle. So here's the thing, and with something like that, that vehicle had 8,000 miles on it. It's a 1988 model. That means that person hardly drove the car. So that was not an everyday drive. That was something that was purchased and was parked in a garage, and it's in showroom condition. And that's a vehicle, that's an E30 M3, which has got cult status as far as your 80s performance cars go. In South Africa, unfortunately, we didn't get that specific vehicle. BMW didn't import the car here. But in typical South African fashion, we managed to, our engineers at the Roslyn plant, built the 325 IS, which is a vehicle that, I mean, that's got serious cult status in South Africa. You've had two versions of them, the Evo 1, the Evo 2. And that vehicle, I mean, I remember looking at them in the early 2000s. They were changing hands for 60,000 Rand, 70,000 Rand. Those vehicles have shot up. Some of them are changing hands at 500,000 Rand. There's one currently available at the moment for 840,000 rand, the white one. And those cars are out there, and people love them. South Africans love them. Fiercely patriotic when it comes to their standing in terms of brand loyalty. You just need to look at the VW Polo. It's probably South African. It's made here, and it outsells everything else in that market segment. So looking after your golden oldie, definitely. But again, it's based, you know, people are paying these numbers for vehicles based on the low kilos, the rarity of the vehicle. That specific car was built, and they were built to a certain number. So in the 80s, what used to happen was the rules still apply, but for you to go racing, you needed to build a certain amount of vehicles, and they needed to be sold in a showroom. And there were very few changes that you could make to the vehicle to go racing with the vehicle. So those are homologation rules. So with the E30, the factory built race cars and put them on the showroom floor. And the minimum amount was 1,500 units. Obviously, because the vehicle was more popular and it created its own market segment, they built more. But that was essentially how the E30 entry ended up in public hands. And it's a race car. It's a full-on track-borne vehicle. It's a very, very rev-happy motor. There's a couple in South Africa here. There's a grey one that changed hands in December for 1.7 million rand. So they are here. You've got to look for them. And because they are so rare in South Africa, guys are paying quite a bit of money to own them.
What are the things that you need to keep in mind as we close our conversation here? If you are going after a secondhand car that could have a lot of intrinsic value based on it being a classic or a limited edition, what are the commandments, as it were, 10 or more, or whatever it is, that you need to look for if you want to get in that game?
Well, here's the thing. The car needs to be as original as possible. The biggest mess most people do when they purchase these vehicles is they want to make this thing outstanding. So they respray it, they take it apart, and essentially, when you start doing that, the vehicle starts losing its value. So that specific E30, that price was there because that car is exactly the way it left the factory in 1988. It's never been painted. It's never been taken apart. The engine's never been opened. The interior's never been redone. So that is why that specific vehicle had that price. About 2 years ago, there was an E36 M3, an Avis blue one. The car had 8,000 kilometers on the clock. It was owned by a gentleman from New. He serviced the car every year but hardly drove it. That vehicle, to give you an idea, brand new, that vehicle in 1996 cost 250,000 rand. He had sold that car for 1.8 million rand. And that's because the vehicle wasn't touched. It was brand new. It was just the way it left BMW showroom floor. And because BM don't make them anymore, and people, you know, it's got a cult status thing to it. You were growing up, you saw this car, and you said, one day I'm going to own one. And because they're not making them new, you looked around for an example that was clean, that had no paintwork on it, that wasn't touched, that wasn't molested in any way. It was just the way it left the factory. The radio hadn't been changed, that kind of thing. And those cars are the cars that get huge prices because they are so original.
Warren Tucker, always an interesting conversation talking about cars. Our resident car enthusiast. Pleasure. Have a lekker Saturday. Are you going to go for a Sunday drive tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know why. Our president says we must stay indoors and not drive around, not visit family, because there's a peak on approach. So, you know, I think we need to just keep it clean for now. People are dying. And let's just do this for a little bit longer, and then hopefully we'll come out of lockdown.
I like your enthusiasm, and I like your responsibility. Warren Tucker, our resident car expert on 702 Weekend Breakfast.